used to be able to skip him around today, largely because I skipped around for a whole week and found it quite difficult to try to spread someone's substance, the gospel of today, reading, and also how we have suddenly changed. We have changed now to a Jesus who is quite strict, quite demanding, lovable, yes, but at the same time, adamant about what he himself feels. We must become. The best place to start, I think, is last week. My favorite character, not in all of Scripture, but close to all of Scripture, is a little boy. If you remember, last week, we had the first of the five Gospels on the bread of life. The bread of life, of course, is Jesus himself. But you remember the story, I think. The story of the loaves and the fishes. A large crowd was following Jesus across the Sea of Galilee because they saw the signs he was performing on the sea. And Jesus went up onto the mountain. It's a sign that he's going to preach from the beginning to the end, all about God coming among them, up onto the mountaintop, just as Moses went up to the mountaintop to see God and receive the Ten Commandments. And there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Jewish feast of the Passover, which we celebrate around Easter time, the passing over from death to life. For the Jews it was a Passover from slavery to freedom. And for us it was a Passover from darkness into the bright light of the Messiah. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw what a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip. Philip, as you know, is one of the disciples. Where can we buy enough food for them to eat? Jesus says. He said this to test them because he himself knew what he was going to do. If he knew what he was going to do, what is he testing him for? Philip answered, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. This is kind of weird. If you don't picture yourself in this scene, you should picture it. The first thing we ask is that how much is it going to cost us to feed all of those people? And that's from Philip. Philip wants to know how much he's going to lay down and where he's going to find the money and how much weight to bring it all in. Times do not change. 200 denarii or days' wages worth of food wouldn't be enough even to begin to feed all these people. One of his disciples, Andrew, now you all know Andrew. Andrew is Peter's older brother. We always think of St. Peter as the younger, but he's not. I mean, he's the older, but he's not. He's the younger. Andrew is the older. Andrew, who is the brother of Simon Peter, says to Jesus, there is a boy here. Yes, that's that little boy. There's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fishes. But what good are these among so many? Five barley loaves. Barley loaves are the food of the poor. The rich eat bread made out of wheat. But if you eat bread made out of barley loaves, you're kind of on the lower rung. So here he's got just a few five barley loaves and two fish. And how does he find any room? He's all by himself fairly well. He had a little bag and his mother probably gave him what he needed. And of course it was his lunch, wasn't it? It was something to eat while he was there with the master. Lots of people. Lots of people were coming and going and was also someone who gathered a large group of people who felt lost and alone and didn't know what else to do. So they followed this young man who spoke from the heart. He's so different. Jesus said then, when he heard that the barley loaves were two fish, he said, have the people recline, sit down. I think we mentioned them. Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, and 5,000, about 5,000, and not just the men, that doesn't mean the women and the children yet. Amazing number of people. Then Jesus took the loaves, now listen carefully, because John, who wrote all of this, John is just about a young man, a very young man, he told him what to do, one of the boys there at this event of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Have the people replied, said Jesus. Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. Nice and cozy. Jesus was turning a kind of an angry or mixed up mob of people, all with their own personal needs and desires, and he was making them into a community. They're all sitting nicely together in small groups facing each other, chatting about whatever. And of course, I'm sure they also brought a lot of food with them. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number, and Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and gave them, distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish. These are the words of the priest, yeah. Right. Jesus took the bread, giving thanks, distributed it, and said, this is my body. And also as much of the fish as they want. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted. And so they collected that and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the fine barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is the Messiah. This is the prophet, the one who is to come into the world. Things are looking very good for Jesus and his message. Since Jesus knew they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, Jesus quietly withdrew again to the mountain all alone. This is a beautiful, beautiful meeting, and it makes us think a lot about ourselves and our feelings. Because he's describing the church, you know, we are here, just like they were here, the disciples are all there. People are coming, people have different ideas in their hearts, what they want and what they don't want, and what they would like to have, and what they would settle for. Some of them don't even know how come they want it in. And it was a kind of people who didn't know each other too well. Large number, much larger than ours, didn't know people too well, so they weren't too friendly with each other, but they were like me and they were like Chris. And you know what I'm trying to describe is that when Jesus speaks of these crowds of people, and when he talks about those times, he's talking now, today, to you and I, because the same Jesus that said, have walls and make them welcome. Get compassion on them. We're all kind of at this and that and problems of their own. And it was for him to say to the disciples, reach out and take care of him. Then why did he run away? He ran away because he knew they were going to make him king. He knew they were going to lift him up high and say, this is our hero. This is the one who is going to change everything. This is the one we put our faith in. But it never happened. And it never happened because God does not need kings. His son does not need high authority. He does not need to be cultured. He does not need to be apart from the ordinary people. He does not need anything. What he needs is what? He needs for us to give our lives into his hands and let him do something with them. That is what he needs. Because you have freedom. And God has freedom. And Jesus has freedom. And we share that, and it all must be respected. And so he knew that anybody having hopes, or whatever, how we do with it, and create people who are above everybody else, or who are leaders, who are this, who are that, are not welcome, really, in trying to build up the kingdom of God. And for the one reason that I think I always say, is because there's no love in it. And if there's no love in it, it's not worth anything. We're just playing games with each other. There is love, and those who love understand. But the love of Jesus is a self-sacrificing love. But it is a love that makes the world go round. It is the only reason why they are sitting there and listening. Yes, they have many hungers, but the great hunger they have is hunger for the love of God. And that is why they are sitting there, hunger for the love of God. And love means what? Receiving love. For Jesus, there's no such thing as receiving love. I mean, there is receiving love, but it's because you and I have loved out and given this love of Jesus to other people. We are not waiting to be served. And of course, this is the great flaw in the people who came that day and rushed all the way to Capernaum to see him again because he hid from them and he went back home to the house of Peter in Capernaum. And he stayed there, and when they came to see him, they said, where did you go? Where did you go? We're going to make you king. And he just smiled at them, and he said, amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw wonderful signs of a new era, signs of a new world, but because you hate the fools and you worship. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the bread that endures for eternal life, which I, the Son of Man, will give to you. For I hear you, the Father. God, our Father, has set his seal. This is the work of God, Jesus says, that you believe in the one that God sends you. And so they said to him, what sign do you? Show us a sign. What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? And what can you do? Our ancestors cut manna from the skies in the desert. As it was written, he gave them bread from the heaven to eat. And so Jesus said to them, it was not Moses who gave you bread. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the whole world. And so they all said at that time, Sir, give us this bread always. And now children and walking around overlooked, not appreciated, loved the by many, but certainly not a man of consequence. And this is what he says. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never, never thirst. And that's the gospel story today. What is it that we learn? We learn that we are the people of God, that we are called by God, that Jesus is among us, that he walks with us, he talks with us, he sings with us, he dances with us. He is ours for all eternity. The one thing that he asks of us is the one thing we find very hard to give to anyone. He demands surrender. You must give your life to me. You must understand that only when you give your life away is it possible to build something beautiful and lovely for you and your families and your children, where the whole world finally understands that it is in loving others, not ourselves, in loving others, in working for others, in healing others, in caring for others. That is the only way to build a world that we can say comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.